From the land of Grand Teutoburg City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day, March the 31st. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. The guys up at Earth Risk Technologies will be here to take a look at the weather forecast for our part of the world and for South America as they continue through their harvest season. And we'll discuss this morning's USDA reports with Chris Hurt at Purdue University. We'll take a more important look, too, at the hogs and pigs numbers that were released Friday afternoon and how PEDV has or has not been impacting the size of the hog herd in the United States. And we'll do it all right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Before we get to the trade in Chicago for the day, let's take a quick look at the numbers as they came out from USDA this morning. Prospective planting shows corn at 91.7 million acres, the average trade guess 92.88, soybeans at 81.5 million acres, the average trade guess at 81.11 million acres. Grain stocks show 7 billion bushels of corn on hand, approximately. That was right within the average trade guess. Soybeans at 992 million, and that's just above the average trade guess of 988 million. More on those numbers as we make our way through today's program.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now here are the way the numbers finished up in Chicago at the CME Group. Nearby May corn at $5.02, above $5 at gain of a dime or 10 cents today. July at 5.06 and 3 quarters, 10 and a half higher, and September at 5.02, up 10 and 3 quarters. December futures, that's the new crop, at $4.98 and a quarter, up 11 cents. They topped, by the way, at $4.99, so did not reach the $5 mark. And the March at $5.05, up 9 and 3 quarters, May of next year at $5.10, up 9 cents. The hard red winter wheat finished the July at 7.65 and a quarter, penny and a half higher, and soft red at 7.01 and a half, up 2 and a quarter. Soy complex May beans, 14.64, 27 and a half cents higher. July at 14.29 and a half, up 21 and 3 quarters. August 13.61, 9 and a half higher, and November beans at $11.87 and a quarter finished down lower, 3 and a quarter cents. Bean meal up 10.90, bean oil 6 cents lower for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the June at $137.50, down 85 cents, and the April feeders at 177.25 or $1.32.5 higher. Lean hogs in the June at 127.17.5, down 2.40. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, May contract $101.49 a barrel, down 18 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.91 and a tenth. That's for the wholesale price, 2 6/10 of a cent lower. Ethanol futures up 20 7/10 of a cent at $3.45 and 9 tenths. And the spread now is a negative 54 8/10 of a cent. That's down 23 3/10 from Friday afternoon's close. Natural gas at $4.37 and 2 tenths, down 11 3/10. And diesel fuel for the day at $2.93 and 2 tenths. That's up 2.5, or rather down 2.5 cents. Gold futures for the afternoon at $1,283.70 an ounce, down $10.40 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Partly sunny skies, a high of 67, that's right, 67 degrees for the afternoon. Breezy south winds at 24 miles an hour. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers, thunderstorms before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy. Otherwise, a low of 42. Will be breezy with a wind out of the south at 16 to 21 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 55 on a west wind at 14 to 17. Rain is likely Tuesday evening in the area, mostly cloudy, and a low of 40 degrees. West-northwest winds at 7 to 9 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall set at 60% for Tuesday night, and Wednesday rain will continue, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy, a high of 54 degrees. The chance of rainfall in the area set at 70%. Wednesday evening showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. 70% chance remains. Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a high near 60 degrees. And then showers and thunderstorms on Thursday night and 41. And they will continue into Friday with a partly sunny sky eventually and a 58-degree high. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies. They are in Chicago, Illinois.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is a Monday afternoon. Let's take a look on this 31st day of March at the numbers and the USDA figures that were released this morning. On the phone line with us to distill what it all might mean is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd, and I have to give you a high rating for staying on top of the reports today, getting that information out on Twitter. You made my job a lot easier by hitting retweet quite a bit today, Todd.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really pretty easy. The guys at USDA, NASS, send out an executive summary, and if you can get on that list, there are lots of really good graphics, and you can put those out very quickly. They show not only up on my Twitter feed at Commodity Week, they're online because my Twitter feed is posted online at willag.org. And if you happen to be signed up for our newsletter, Kurt, they are there. Many more of them are there. Dave Dickey takes care of making sure that those all get put in place, too. So it's kind of fun. I enjoy doing it, and I think Dave does, too. You do a nice job with your Twitter feed as well. I think, what is it? It's at C. Kimmel?
C. Kimmel 3.
C. Kimmel 3, at C. Kimmel 3, if you want to follow Kurt Kimmel. What'd you think of the morning's reports?
Wow. There was a little bit of everything for everybody. Market action was both positive and negative. I guess the highlight was probably the corn acreage number being a little less than expected, giving the corn market a little bit support. Then secondly, we fall into the corn stocks, usage maybe a little bit better than expected. And thirdly, kind of behind the scenes, I was a little surprised about the sorghum acreage being down 1.4 million acres with the dry weather forecast in the Western Belt. So that was kind of the order, but there's just a little bit of everything for everybody there.
No, I got lucky. Did you happen to see, speaking of sorghum, the export graphic that I sent out earlier on the Twitter feed this morning on that one? Have you been watching that export figure on the weekends? The sorghum number is just skyrocketing going to that at Commodity Week, because it's unbelievable how much sorghum has been exported. It's a straight up figure almost. It's a really substantial curve. So in the corn market, 91.7 million acres is now the estimate for corn. That is the lowest, I think, since 2010 in total number of acres, but the fifth largest since 1944. Last year, by comparison to the 91.7 expected to be sown this year, farmers put 95.36 million in the ground.
Yeah, when you look at the number there, it's plug in the supply-demand balance sheet. It comes to a point now, what type of yield do you put on it? And that's going to be dictated by the weather, of course. But if you go through the supply-demand balance sheet, it projects on out to maybe 1.5, 1.6 billion bushel carryout for next year. But the yield's going to be the determining factor. When you go back to the outlook for them, they were at 92 million acres, so that was fairly close to today's number. Basically, a lot of switching in some areas to some other crops versus corn.
So a billion and a half doesn't sound so bad compared to the 2 or 2.2 that many people were beginning to pencil in not so long ago for the 2014-15 or the ending stocks for next year. And if you put the grain stocks number in from this morning at, 7 billion bushels for corn, what do you see if you forward figure that? Have you done that number two for the
instance? Yeah, I kind of plugged that in through there, how they massage that we'll see on the next supply-demand balance report. Better usage in general. Thing is, I think the trade was looking at corn feed demand going down, but if it does go down due to the pig virus, it'll be more in the second quarter versus this first quarter right after first of the year here, on the calendar, that is. And also, to ethanol prices. If you look at the ethanol chart, overall ethanol price stays relatively high, so it's been sort of mirroring the corn market here, keeping ethanol somewhat productive or profitable, that is. So overall usage remains strong and through here, suggesting, you know, pullbacks the end user is going to be wanting to get some coverage on as we go into the summer months.
And USDA says for soybeans, we're about a billion in grain stocks. That's at 992 million, actually. And the planted acreage will be 81.5 million Last year, that number was 76.5, so much larger.
Yeah, we basically seen a huge increase, especially in the up through the Dakotas and in through the South, where we did see major switching from corn to beans, mainly in, it looks like, in Indiana and Ohio for the most part. So it looks like we're going to have ample bean acres around to work with, especially in some of these fringe areas. A little bit of a pickup and confirmation, guys out west, instead of planting sorghum, they might throw some beans out there and see what develops there. When you plug in the acreage number and so forth, we're still looking at probably 350 million bushel carry out in this new crop year, depending on what type of yield and whether or not our export market stays strong on the shipment side through the end of the marketing year.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Up next, Greg Tayson at USDA NASS left us this nice little note about this morning's prospective plantings report. I think you'll find it interesting as it relates to the state of Iowa.
Iowa producers expect to plant 14 million acres of corn this year and 9.6 million acres of soybeans. If realized, this will be an increase of 3% for both crops from last year when corn and soybean plantings were prevented due to extremely wet conditions in many areas of the state. Based on these expected acreage numbers, Iowa would retain the top ranking among all states for area planted to corn and regain the top ranking for soybeans. Nationally, farmers intend to plant 91.7 million acres of corn for all purposes in 2014, down 4% from last year. If realized, this will be the lowest planted acreage in the United States since 2010, but still the fifth largest acreage since 1944. Meanwhile, soybean planted area for 2014 is estimated at a record high 81.5 million acres, up 6% from last year. Compared with last year, planted acreage intentions are up or unchanged across all states except Missouri and Oklahoma.
That's Greg Tayson, of course. He's from USDA NASS out of Iowa. Let's stay with the USDA reports this morning and put them in some more context. Chris Hurt, Purdue Extension Ag Economist, is on the phone line this afternoon. Chris, thanks for taking time with us. When you saw the numbers this morning from the United States Department of Agriculture, I suspect that the first thing that crossed your mind was, well, they're within the realm of what the trade was expecting.
Well, that's right. I don't think we saw anything that was very dramatic to drive these markets. But certainly the tone, I think, continues to shift in the way of telling us that corn use is very good. Again, we saw the stocks number on corn come in about 100 million bushels lower than what the trade had expected. This fits nicely with the trend we've been seeing, exports very good, probably corn ethanol use doing quite well, and of course we've had some disruptions in the ethanol market to drive those prices higher, but the point is ethanol plant margins are tremendously high, at record high levels, and they're going to use all the corn they can as they can get that ethanol away from the plant. And then I think, you know, as we look at the residual, it says probably we had pretty strong feeding use in the second quarter of the marketing year. And that's all on corn. That all looks kind of friendly to the corn numbers, I think.
And can you talk a bit more about that feeding use and the hogs and pigs numbers that came out on Friday afternoon? I know you've gone through those. There was a whole lot of speculation about PEDV and how much of an impact it might have on the marketplace.
Yeah, there really was a lot of talk. You know, we heard some pretty good analysts talking about some of the summer supplies could be down 12 to 15%. Now, this report just says nothing like that was going to happen, that it looks like we'll be down probably on average over the spring and the fall, spring and summer, maybe more like about 5% on the head count. And that'll be obviously heavier when we get into the summer supplies of pigs that come out of the winter. In the winter, it looks like we lost about 7% of the pigs. Now, again, what we're looking at is the pigs per litter that USDA reports. and trying to go back and do an analysis of the national trend on that, because we have been trending higher. So we dropped about 7% below trend expectations on pigs per litter. That's where that death loss would show up. The fall supplies, fall farrowings, I should say, were down about 2% on pigs per litter. So I think when you put that whole 6 months together, that'll be our spring and summer supplies down about 5%. Now, we had a lot of discussion of analysts saying that could be as high as 10%, and some were up 12 and higher. And so I think what you're looking at here on corn, you back off with about 5% less pigs. You're going to back off about 25 million bushels of feeding of corn from what we would have had had we not had the PED. Now, this is not a big amount difference between what the market said they were expecting on the death losses. They were guessing that we'd on average be about 7% death loss, and the number was around 5%. So I think that's more in the 10 million bushel range, 5 to 10 million bushels of corn, more feeding than what the market was expecting due to the death loss on PED virus. So I don't think it's a real big factor, but the stocks number does indicate that we have had better use than expected on corn.
So no game changer for PEDV as it relates to corn then?
I don't think so. I think the game changer may be on the expectations. Some had very high death loss expectations in their models and obviously in their trading. So I think you really deflate some of those super bulls in terms of the lean hog futures. But on corn, I don't think this is the major game changer. I think probably it really is looking at the stocks number and then, of course, the planting intentions as we start out the 2014 planting.
Tell me a bit more about this these prospective plantings figures and what the acreage might mean. I believe this is the fifth largest corn crop acreage number since 1944. Still, it's much smaller than some had expected, in line, relatively speaking, though, with what the trade was thinking about.
Yeah, I think it is in line, but I think the good news is that, again, on corn, it's the kind of an acreage number that we don't really see major buildup in terms of our carryover stocks for the 14 crop. You know, we've had USDA analysts have been sending some signals this winter that they thought we were in a time period here in the 14, 15, 16 crops. We're really going to build carryover maybe to 2.5 to 3 billion bushels on corn. As I run numbers with this size of corn acreage, you know, I'm looking at the market's ability to continue to expand usage with a 14 crop, being able to fully meet this production this year. Now, again, I think a number of us are a little lower on yields than what USDA came out with, at least initially in the 165 range, and we certainly could get that big crop. But what I like about where we're at on corn, it feels like we're about seeing our utilization growing to the level of our production base. And again, that says we don't have to have terribly low prices. We don't have as much incentive for markets to go to very high prices with short supplies because we have a little inventory. But we're going to pull this inventory down for the 13 crop now down to around 1.35, 1.4 billion bushels. And I think that's a very comfortable number to go forward, and that's about what I'm looking for the 14 crop coming out at around 1.4 to 1.5 billion bushels of carryout and keeping prices, therefore, something in the 460, 470 kind of range as averages for the 14 crop. Again, we'd certainly, as producers, rather have 5.5 or 6, but versus some of the very scary numbers that some analysts were throwing out, moving back below $4 corn, I think Midwest agriculture can live with $4.50 to $5 corn.
And USDA showed us a very large soybean figure, though that one was expected as well, and I think it may be the largest planted acreage figure ever released.
I haven't had a chance to go back and look at the historical perspective, but again, I think what we're looking at on beans is we're coming off of the 13 crop we're marketing now. Obviously, just very, very tight stocks, clearly oversold with regard to our export sales that are on the books, and some adjustment will have to be made there. But this 14 crop with this kind of acreage, normal yields at this point, will allow us to move from that 140 million bushel carry out on up to, say, 260, 270. And so we are going to maybe not collapse, but move prices down to, I'm using around 1135 as a marketing average price for the 14 crop. Again, I think our measure and some of the University of Illinois measures are that it's probably $12 a bushel or somewhat higher to raise beans. So 1135 begins to put some pressure, particularly on some cash rent tenants. But I think it's a number we can live with, and it's certainly not a tragic number, where we've had analysts in December, January, early January, talking about the possibility of below $10. So I really kind of like where we're at. We're coming into a situation where we have reasonable balances between the amount we're going to be able to produce and the utilization base. Certainly beans several dollars lower than this crop year, but still I think levels that aren't going to be tragic and force a lot of adjustment for farmers as well as land values and cash rents. And those adjustments we were worried might have needed to be to the downside.
You mentioned the University of Illinois, the ag economist from the U of I, Daryl Good and Scott Irwin at this hour are holding a webinar. I'll send a link out on our website at willag.org so that you can listen to that after the fact, or you can visit the Farm Doc Daily website to find that. And then tomorrow, Chris, you and a colleague at Purdue and the 11 o'clock hour Central Time, noon hour in the Eastern Time Zone, will host a webinar looking at the prospective plantings and at the grain stocks numbers.
That's right. So hopefully we'll have some evaluations done. We hope to look a little bit more at some pricing strategies going forward and probably try to look over not just the next year, but the next two or three or 4 years. So clearly, one of the reasons for that is that the decisions in the farm program are going to involve thinking about prices over the next 5 years, the 14 through the 18 crop. So we think it's important to get producers started thinking about what are those prices going to be over the next 5 years.
And those who'd like to sign up for it should just look for the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. If they source that in Google, they'll find the webinar links and be able to sign up, and I'll post that at willag.org as well. Thank you so much, Chris Hurt. We do appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
That's Chris Hurt, Purdue Extension Ag Economist. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now, quickly, let's check in with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. How about your numbers, basis, and what bids look like for the day?
Basis is still steady, maybe even a little bit better from last week. With this rally in the board, we'll see if farmer movement pushes basis lower, but so far basis levels are steady to better. And that with the rally today, we've got our cash bids for corn at 488 old crop, 473 new crop. Old crop beans are 1474, new beans are 1167, and new wheat is 681.
Very quickly, we would think that things might have changed with the warmer weather, but I suppose that means that we've changed posted weight limits on blacktops and things haven't been moving. Is that right?
Actually, corn moved quite a bit last week. This week we've got weather and rain in the forecast and warmer temperatures, so maybe that'll slow things down. But last week was really a pretty good week movement-wise.
And we'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's Tater Day. The celebration started in 1842 or 1843 as a time when town folk in Benton, Kentucky would get together and trade sweet potatoes. Farmers from the countryside would bring their taters to town to sell or trade. Nowadays in Benton, the celebration is a three-day event, complete with parade, carnival, baking, canning, and fiddling competitions, and gospel singing. It's also Oranges and Lemons Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1814, John Limebeck patented the cottonseed hulling machine. In 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the U.S. for the first time. The idea was sponsored by the Daylight Savings Association. New York Senator William M. Calder introduced the bill to Congress on 17 April 1917. It was initially defeated, but subsequently passed by a roll call on 27 June 1917. The concept had originally been introduced in Great Britain as a fuel-saving measure during wartime. In 1945, Lewis Ralph Jones died on this date. Jones was an agricultural botanist and one of the nation's most distinguished plant pathologists. Jones studied enhanced control of potato diseases and increased yield. And in 1989, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York, after a long debate, persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve Japanese blowfish. The chefs had to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Normally at this time, we take a look at the weather forecast. The guys up at Earth Risk Technologies are not available this afternoon. That's okay, because I just didn't spend enough time with Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and he has graciously agreed to spend a bit more time with us this afternoon. Greg, thanks so much. Let's talk a little bit more about basis and bids and what's been happening across the Midwest. When I looked at the numbers on Friday afternoon, for Central Illinois processors, there were overs there again. I don't know how surprising that is when we have overs, but it would seem relatively surprising at this time of year with as much grain as we think happens to be around.
You're right. I've heard one person comment that this is the smallest big crop we've ever had. You know, even though we think the bushels are out there, you know, 1.4, 1.5 billion bushel carryover, it just doesn't seem to be flowing like we would normally associate with a big crop. Maybe that's because farmers are in a better financial position. Maybe that's because they think with the sub-trend line yields last few years, they want to hold on to a little bit until they feel more confident about this year's crop before they let loose of that last old crop. So for whatever reason, corn has not moved, and maybe it's the weather. You know, January, February was not real good, not conducive for farm movement of grain. So for whatever the reason, you know, the basis levels seem to be pretty strong considering how much corn we're supposed to have left over.
Do you suppose that they'll be tighter with their corn supplies now that they're looking at a 91.7 million acre planted acreage for the United States? And if they forward figure like everybody else, they're thinking, hey, wait a second, next year's carryout's only 1.5, 1.6, something like that.
Yeah, I think they probably break up their marketing as far as old crop and new crop. I think if they can get $5 for old crop corn, I think they will let loose the old crop corn. But new crop, they may be a little more slower on the trigger now until they see what kind of start we get off to. You know, with that lower acreage number, that definitely provides some support to the new crop corn.
And then, in turn, the soy complex with as big a number as we see for the prospective plantings, you would think that would turn the market off. But gosh, we continue to grind through soybeans.
Yeah, the old crop number. You know, I don't think a lot of people believe that we have as many old crop beans as maybe what the government says that we will. And you know, the government is saying we'll import beans to make sure that we do have enough, and that may be the case. But you know, even though we plant more new crop beans, they're not in the bins yet, and so the old crop, I think, is strengthening the new crop. At some point in time, the new crop will stand on its own, but for now, they're kind of riding the tailwind of the old crop beans.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tailwinds, a little wind out there this afternoon. It's nice and warm, and we've got rain coming. All good news, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah, we'll take the rain at this point. The soil temperatures are still too cold to plant anyway, so we might as well recharge the subsoil moisture while we can, and hopefully in late April, early May, it'll warm up, and we'll get going. Last year, we didn't plant corn till I think that week of May 13th to May 20th, we planted half the crop in about 7 days.
Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate you really helping me out this afternoon.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson with the Andersons help us wrapping up this edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.